You do have a Bible, and please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 29. John had been baptizing people in the River Jordan, just outside Bethsaida, for some time before Jesus came to be baptized and start his ministry. Bethsaida, as many of you will know, was a small fishing town on the northern shore of Lake Galilee, situated just where the River Jordan enters the lake. It was there where fishermen Andrew and Peter lived and carried on their fishing business. And it was on the opposite side to the River Jordan, from the Galilean towns of Nazareth, Capernaum and Cana, where Jesus would soon take his new disciples that he'd called in Bethsaida and perform his first miracle at the wedding there. John's ministry had been one of calling people back to repentance after 400 years of the Jewish Dark Ages, when no prophet had spoken the word of God since the prophet Malachi. And the people were baptized as an outward sign that they had turned back to God. People were puzzled as to who John really was. "Are you Elijah or another prophet come to speak to us at last after 400 years? But he replied using those words from Isaiah 40, verse 3, which says, "He's a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord.'" In those days, the road system wasn't anything like our road system. I don't think Pat's here this morning, but she could tell you some tales about what the road system is like in Ethiopia. Many of the roads were full of stones. They were uneven. They had potholes. If you think we've had some bad potholes in Great Harwood, these were 10 times worse. A bit like if any of you climbed some mountains and you had these really stony tracks to walk on, making it difficult to walk and almost impossible to wheel a chariot. So if somebody important was coming to the town, the people of the town would make the way straight. They would get the road ready, prepare the way for the important dignitary to come. They'd remove all the stones. They'd even out the potholes so that the path was straight instead of being lumpy and up and down, and it would be much easier then for the important dignitary to come along. Now, John wasn't preparing the way for an important dignitary to visit, but he was preparing the way spiritually in a similar sort of way for the most important person to come of all, the Lamb of God. He wasn't removing stones and potholes from the road, but he was trying to point people the way to remove their sin and get ready for the Lord Jesus to arrive. When Jesus approached the River Jordan at the start of this ministry, John pointed to Jesus and said, "Look," not just, "Oh, look, that's the Lamb of God." He said, "Behold, look, there's the Lamb of God that I've been telling you about. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Those words which should be on the lips of every believer, pointing people to Jesus by the words they say and the life they lead. John had prepared the way for people to meet Jesus. In verse 30, we see that he says, "He's the one I told you about." So he'd already told them that Jesus was coming. And he was getting them to repent, to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And for us, preparing the way for witnessing is every bit as important as the time you actually tell people about Jesus. Befriending people, asking them for walks, taking them for coffee on a Monday morning, ladies, or on a Thursday morning here in the church, inviting them round for meals. Basically, getting to know them, like I'm sure the outreach team do with their regular visitors to the stall on a Thursday morning. Preparing the way to point people to Jesus. Of course, the Jewish hearers would have been only too well aware of the significance of the term the Lamb of God. They would have been brought up learning about the law of Moses, even though not many had kept them, about how at Passover time a perfect lamb would have been chosen beforehand and then at the appointed time had been sacrificed and its blood splashed onto the tops and the sides of the doorposts. When the Lord saw the blood on those doorposts, the people sheltering under the blood were saved. And each year at Passover, the people would have been reminded of this great act of salvation by the sacrifice of a lamb. And now John was pointing the people to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Like the Passover lamb, Jesus would be sacrificed at God's appointed time on the cross of Calvary. His blood too would have been splashed on the tops and the sides of the cross, so that those who shelter under that blood, those who have come in repentance and faith in his blood shed for their sins, would also be saved from God's wrath to come. And don't confuse repentance with mere remorse. Remorse is, yes, feeling sorry that you've done something wrong. Perhaps even wishing that you didn't do it. But repentance is more than feeling sorry. Repentance is both feeling sorry and turning your back on those sins, turning your back on the people that cause you to sin, turning your back on the situations which lead you into those sins. Like soldiers marching in a line who are marching one way towards their sin, and all of a sudden the sergeant major shouts out, "About turn!" And they turn away from the way they were going. That's a picture of how we should be with our sin. Not just feeling sorry that we do it, but making a conscious effort to turn our backs on it and walk the other way. You see, many people want to be saved from hell, but you have to want to be saved from your sin as well. The true believer has a yearning to march away from their sin in true repentance. Yes, we're not perfect. We still sin. We all sin because we're human. But we need to make every effort to make sure we don't just drift into sin.